The message this morning is really focused on hearing God's voice, and it'll make sense as we go through it. But on the third day, like we've been sharing this in the worship songs this morning, the different testimonies that have been declared, but on the third day, the stone was rolled away, and the linen cloths were lying in the tomb, sort of like in this picture, right? There's these cloths that were just laying there. And the actual text says that the face cloth was folded neatly. There was something significant about the face covering that was covered over Jesus' face. It was folded neatly. Peter and John had raced to the tomb, and then they went back to their homes. But Mary, there was a woman named Mary, and she lingered. Do you know that good things often happen to those who linger? In the Gospels or in the Bible, right? There's something, you guys remember Joshua? He lingered. When Moses would go back to the camp, Joshua lingered. He stayed near the presence. And for Mary, she was weeping outside the tomb because she didn't know what was going on. She was confused. It was the last place that Jesus had been present. And then she hears a voice that says, "Why are you weeping?" And it's these angels that are saying, "Why are you weeping?" Then she hears it again, "Why are you weeping?" And it's Jesus speaking to her. But she didn't recognize his voice in that moment. She was distraught. She was on edge, right? She was shaken, and she didn't recognize him. Obviously, the resurrected Jesus looked a little bit different than the Jesus before. We don't understand the fullness of that, but he did, if you go through the rest of the Gospels, you see he had some interesting characteristics about him where he could walk through walls and sort of appear and vanish and reappear and different things like that. So there was something about the Jesus' resurrected body that was different than his body before. And Mary had believed that Jesus was the Christ on the other side of the cross. Before the cross, Mary was a disciple of Jesus. She was a follower of Jesus. She believed that Jesus was the Messiah. She was fully convinced. And then Jesus says one word. He says, "Mary." And it clicks. Because she knows the voice of the Lord. There's something significant about disciples knowing the voice of the Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "My sheep will know my voice." And this is a classic example that when Jesus said her name, even in her shaken and sort of overwhelmed state, something about her name, it rattled her to a point that she says, "I know that voice." And she cries out, "Rabboni." Teacher, right? Rabboni, she recognized, oh, it's Jesus. Isn't it interesting that Jesus chose to reveal himself? The first person was Mary. It could have been any person, but the first person he chose to reveal himself to is Mary. Mary was a woman who had a little bit of a sordid past, right? And many and sort of in her circles would sort of declare over her that her identity should be guilt or shame, that she should walk in that level. But Jesus says, "You're my beloved. I love you." And he appears to her first. And then she runs and she testifies to all the other disciples, "I've seen the Lord." Many of them didn't believe. But the reality is then Jesus appears. We're going to fast forward. We're going to jump to Acts chapter 9. And it says this. In verse 1, if you have your Bibles, you can open up there. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Right? So previously, we saw Saul sitting when Stephen was martyred, right? In the early church, Stephen was martyred, and Saul was giving his approval to what was happening. Then he gets his letters to go to Damascus. It says in verse 3, "Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. See, Saul didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He didn't recognize Jesus' voice. Jesus was actually introducing himself, right? If you could think about that for a minute. And then Jesus says, But rise and enter the city. You'll be told what you're to do. And the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand, brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. So imagine being Saul. He's a powerful leader, a powerful ruler within the church of Jerusalem, right? The Jewish faith, the Israelites. He's on his way to accomplish this mission for God. He believed fully, this is for God. This sect of people who are part of the way, they are dangerous. They need to be addressed with. And so Saul's on his way, and he's knocked down by this light. He hears this voice, and he can't see. His eyes are open, but he can't see. He's blind. For 3 days. He didn't know when they were escorting him into the city how long he was going to be blind. He didn't really know what was going on. Is it a coincidence that it was 3 days? I don't know. It's interesting, right? Verse 10, it says, Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. Ultimately, why does Ananias go? Why would he be so brave and bold to go to a man who he knows is out to hurt him? He's a follower of Jesus, and he knows the voice of Jesus. He trusts the voice of Jesus. And so he goes, and it says, And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul. Isn't that interesting? Brother. I didn't even notice that till I just read that. He calls him brother. They were both of the faith, in a sense. He says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. He regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Saul was never the same after the encounter that he had with Jesus. Never, ever the same. He's the epitome of resurrection power. Really, when you look at his life, right? He was a Christian killer, ultimately. And in a moment, now he's a Christian ambassador. Over a period of just a few days, right? Whatever was going on, we don't know of the full glimpse of what happened in those 3 days for Saul, right? Because there was nothing that's recorded to Saul of what was going to happen. It was recorded to Ananias from Jesus what was going to happen. The other people that were with Saul, it seems like to our knowledge, they had no idea what was going on. Saul was a new creation. The old was gone and the new had come. And now as a follower of Jesus, Saul knew Jesus' voice. He came to love Jesus' voice, and he followed Jesus, leading him on adventure after adventure throughout the whole known world to advance the gospel and proclaim the truth about Jesus being the Christ. Is that a crazy story or what? Right? Someone who was believing that it was God's will to destroy these people who were proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah or as the Christ, to be flipped upside down to now he's the strongest advocate to the same mission. Resurrection power. I think the most important question for us today is, do you know Jesus' voice? Do you know his voice? Like, some of you here are here today and you know about Jesus, right? You know the biblical or the historical accounts of Jesus. Saul knew about Jesus on his way to Damascus. He knew about him, right? But he needed an encounter with Jesus that led him to believe in Jesus, that enabled him to follow Jesus, that enabled him to know Jesus' voice. And if you know about Jesus this morning, but you don't know Jesus, would you like to encounter him today? Right? If you do, you can, based on your boldness, you can raise your hand or you can keep your hand down. But I would invite you to come and see me at the end of the service. I'm going to plant myself down here at the end of this service. Okay? I'm not going to pray for anybody else, but if you're in that situation where you currently don't have a relationship with Jesus, but you want to meet him, I would love to lead you an encounter with Jesus today. Okay? So I'll be there at the end of the service. So that's for some of us. Some of you are here today and you know Jesus, and you've declared your belief that Jesus is the Christ. Right? You've received salvation. You have eternal life. You've committed your life to following him, but you question your ability to hear his voice or to know his voice. You know the scripture that Jesus, again, he promises his sheep will know my voice. To his disciples would know his voice. And so intellectually, you may know that, right, in your mind, because it's what it says, and you're a good believer, and so you believe what it says, right? But somewhere inside of you, you question or you wrestle, do I really know his voice? How well do I know his voice? As you navigate life, you're uncertain or not fully convinced that it's true for you personally, that you were created to know his voice. I think there's a lie that hearing God's voice is either an ability that you have or you don't have. Like, some have that gift and some don't. That you're either good at hearing his voice or you're not. And I think the ultimate lie is that hearing his voice depends on you. And so if you're not confident in hearing his voice, you just need to try harder, strive more, work harder at it, right? Somehow come up with a magic formula so you can do it. And yet that's totally contrary to Jesus and what he said to his disciples. He says, my sheep will know my voice. And so the truth is that you're created to hear his voice, and God created you with this ability. He instilled it in your spirit. And the only way that I know personally to grow in hearing his voice is spending quality, intentional time being with him. Right? So think about it for a second. How does a baby, some of you guys have had babies, some of you are moms, how does a baby recognize its mom's voice when it's first born? So a baby has 9 months or so to be in a mother's womb. And yet the reality is a baby's ears are formed between 16 and 18 weeks. That's when the ears are typically formed. And at the 25th or 26th week, science, they say that a baby can start to differentiate its mother's voice from others' voices. And so if a typical pregnancy is 40 weeks long, right, give or take, then the child has 15 weeks growing and recognizing their mother's voice. And so to break that down even more, the baby has approximately 2,520 hours to study their mom's voice if she talks in her sleep. Isn't that interesting? Because it is pretty phenomenal that when a baby's born, they recognize their mom's voice. I think they recognize their father's voice too. But there's something special about that. It's quality time. They don't have a choice. They're stuck. Right? And yet it emphasizes the point that if you want to know Jesus' voice more, it takes quality time. Being in his presence, listening, asking him questions, talking with him, and then waiting for his response and trusting what you're hearing. Or if you're questioning what you're hearing, asking him about that, right? It's like any relationship. If you want to grow in confidence in knowing God's voice, ask him to help you, and then spend intentional time with him. Right? Like Mary, she walked and talked with Jesus before he ascended. She knew him before the cross, and then she knew him after the cross. So she sort of had an inroad. Would it be easier if Jesus was standing right here in front of you and then to trust that that's his voice? Probably. But people like Ananias and Saul, do you think they were instantly confident in knowing Jesus' voice? We don't know for sure, right? Obviously, the thing about Ananias is we don't know anything about Ananias other than this passage of Scripture. We don't know how he became a believer. We don't know where he sort of encountered Jesus on his life's journey. We don't know any details about his life other than this snapshot. We know he didn't walk with Jesus in the early days because he was never mentioned, at least, right? Maybe he was one of the 120 or something like that. I don't think so, but I don't know for sure. But somehow he's pretty confident in knowing the voice of the Lord. Obviously, we see Saul's introduction to the voice, and then we see the rest of his life, very confident of knowing the voice of the Lord. I think they both grew in the ability over time by spending time with Jesus, being in his presence, listening, learning. And so I wanted to do one thing. If you're here today and you want to grow in confidence in hearing the voice of the Lord, hearing Jesus' voice, then I would like you to stand and I'm going to pray for you. So again, only if that's where you're at and you want to. There's no comparison. If that's something that your heart's cry is. And so Jesus, you see these ones that are standing. And I just, I pray that just like Mary knew your voice, and just like Ananias knew your voice, and just like Saul, who would become Paul, knew your voice, I pray that in this season that there would be an increased level of becoming fully convinced in the voice of the Lord, that they would know it as crystal clear as Ananias knew, of hearing specific locations and places that he could go and what he was supposed to do, that there would be such an intimacy fostered for each one that's standing, that they would encounter you more and more, and that it would launch them into adventures with you and intimacy with you. The depths of the kingdom would flow because of you revealing your voice more and more. I pray that just blessing over those times that they have with you in these next days, weeks, and months to come, in Jesus' precious name. Give them spiritual ears to hear like they've never heard before. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. One thing today is if you have a relationship with Jesus and you're here this morning, or you're listening on the podcast, you've been touched by his resurrection power. You have, right? The same power, that power lives in you because Christ lives in you. It's part of the package. When you accept Jesus into your heart, into your life, you get his spirit that resides inside of you. And it's truth. And as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, our lives are not only impacted by his resurrection power, but we become brokers of his resurrection power, right? And so we give hope to the hopeless. There's somebody who's hopeless in your life and your sphere of influence. You're the one who is Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? He's inside of you. So you can go to that person and you can release a measure of hope into their life because of what's inside of you, right? Peace to those caught up in internal or external storm. Do you know anybody who has an internal storm going on in their lives right now? Like they may look all perfect on the outside, but on the inside, the storm is raging. Or maybe it's the opposite, right? There's this external storm. Life is just chaotic and they need peace. Do you think it's a coincidence that you're in their life? You're a broker of peace because you're a broker of resurrection power. Jesus spoke to the storm and it was still, the external. He also crossed the lake to a man who was bombarded by the demonic, the legion, and he released an internal peace inside of this man as he cast the demons out, and the man was able to sit and be in his right mind. I love the proximity of those passages in Scripture because it shows Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, who lives inside of you if you have a relationship with him. You get to be a broker of peace, right? It's part of his resurrection power. Or a timely word that transforms someone's future. A destiny word or a prophetic word. Love to the outcast. Grace to the broken. Healing, deliverance, miracles, even resurrection from the dead. That same power lives inside of you. See, Ananias, he was fully convinced enough, right? Was he perfect? I don't know. But at least in this moment, this one snapshot that we have in his life, he was fully convinced enough in knowing Jesus' voice that he was willing to go to Straight Street to knock on a door of a house of Judas. It doesn't say that he knew Judas or anything about Judas. We don't know for sure. To pray for a man who kills Christians to regain his eyesight because he's blind. So many of you just stood up to grow in confidence in hearing his voice. We prayed a prayer. We know that our prayers are powerful and effective. So I have expectation that there's going to be an increase of confidence in your ability to know his voice. And Jesus might come knocking. I want you to go to Straight Street, to the house of Judas, because there's someone in depression who needs to be set free, right? Is it just in the book? What's resurrection power, really and truly? What did Jesus die for? What did he rise for? Right? It's part of his inheritance. He said, my sheep would know my voice. I'm raising up disciples. What are disciples? They're supposed to look like their teacher, to represent their teacher, right? What was the fruit of what Ananias did? Resurrection power was released through his hands. The scales fell off of Saul's eyes, and he wasn't able to just see in the physical. He was able to see in the spirit. His whole life changed that day as he accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. And I believe as followers of Jesus that resurrection power is meant to be released through our hands. Every believer, every disciple. There's not greater or lesser. It's every disciple. It's the fruit that gives the Father glory that's spoken about by John in his gospel. Saul, who later became Paul, embraced this truth and followed the voice of Jesus all over the world to release resurrection power. Would you have a relationship today, right, with Jesus, if somebody didn't believe in resurrection power and sharing the gospel? I don't know everybody's story in this room. I know for myself, there was one person who shared in a way that I was able to hear it. And I had many opportunities to hear the gospel, but I had one person who shared it in a way that it just clicked, made sense. And that has sent me on a journey of my life where I'll never was the same again, right? And for everybody who is a believer, there's those kinds of stories. Because it's either the Lord knocks you off your horse and you have an encounter with him, or there's somebody who's a follower of Jesus that was bold enough to share the love of Christ with you in a way that, for whatever reason, at that point in time, it made sense. Right? The truth is that saying yes to this part of following Jesus, it always involves risk. Right? His mission was to destroy the works of the devil that held people in captivity. Do you think that Jesus' mission has changed? It hasn't changed. He tells his disciples, come follow me. One thing that I know with confidence is Ananias said yes to his mission. Saul said yes to his mission. And for those of you who have a relationship with Jesus this morning, I think one question that the Holy Spirit would ask you is, do you want to say yes to that part of the mission? Right? And if you want to say yes to this mission, I'm just going to pause. And in your still small voice, just between you and the Lord, I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'm not going to have you do a dance. I'm not going to have you run up to the altar. In your still small voice, just between you and him, I have a secret. There's some good news. Jesus, he knows your voice. He's fully convinced of your voice. So he knows your voice. So between you and him right now, if that's a mission that you want to say yes to, like Ananias, like Saul, wherever it would take you, right? I encourage you just to say yes to him right now. Or share your heart with him. All right, and then we're going to pray. So Jesus, I thank you for this morning, this Resurrection Sunday, your glory and your grace that's poured out abundantly to us, exceedingly abundantly, more than we can think or imagine. And we thank you for your resurrection power that's been manifest in many of our lives. And we just give you praise and glory for that power. The way that you have changed our lives, we say thank you. What you've taken us out of and brought us into, we say thank you. We're so grateful for your yes to us, for choosing us, for pursuing us, for loving us in the ways that you have. Thank you for allowing us to know your voice. Thank you for teaching us the truth about what you've instilled inside of us, this ability to know your voice with confidence, being fully convinced in the truth that you're a God who speaks and you also are a God who you have instilled in us the ability to hear. And we just pray that you would continue to move in that way in our lives. And then, Lord, for those who just said yes to you and being launched into your mission even more, and we just ask that you would bless them, that you would protect them, that you would watch over them, you would guide their steps. And we just praise you for all those that are currently in captivity, that are going to be no longer in captivity because of these yeses today. And we just thank you for the way that your resurrection power is alive and well here in Santa Rosa, in Sonoma County, in California, in the United States, and to the nations. And we just say, more, would you pour out your resurrection power that fully exists in your disciples, your sons and daughters, that we would carry that power and release it all across the globe into our spheres of influence. We just celebrate what you're doing and what you're gonna do. And we ask that you would seal this word in Jesus' precious name. Amen.